Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning, friends. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's so great to see you this morning. I just want to let you know that if you happen to have a small raindrop fall on your head, it's not your imagination. We are doing a baptism for a young baby later on in the service. But actually, more importantly than that, we just had our roof repaired on our sanctuary, which means it's a great opportunity to discover those small little places where our wonderful roofers may have left a nail or something like that. We are three quarters of the way finished, and we are really excited to be able to have a new roof over our heads. But a little bit of rain this morning means you guys might get to remember your baptisms as well. So we're grateful for that as we gather this morning. I want to let you know that hopefully you were handed on your way in the door a connection card. We are a church that really looks to help people get involved, help people plug in with the ministries of our church. So we pray that you'll take a moment to look over that connection card to see if any of those opportunities and those ministries speak to you. There are all kinds of wonderful things that are going on here at this church, and we hope that something will speak to you and you can find a way to get connected and get more involved. In addition to that, there are prayer cards on the pew back in front of you. They're yellow, and this church engages in praying for folks in our community every single week. On Mondays and on Thursdays, we're praying over those prayer cards. And so we encourage you to take a moment to fill those out, and we just are really humbled and honored to have a chance to pray alongside you for people in your life that you may be concerned about. I want to let you know about a couple of things that are going on here in the church that I just want to highlight for you. Today at 5 o'clock, and I promise we will be finished before Detroit Lions football, but today at 5 o'clock, there's going to be a town hall meeting with our leadership board members. It'll be an opportunity to hear a little bit about how our new leadership structure is going here at the church, and an opportunity to hear about a strategic plan that our church has adopted with 6 strategic priorities that we're leaning into over the next 3 years. If you're interested in joining us for that, it'll be taking place right outside the sanctuary doors in the community room later on tonight at 5 o'clock. So we hope that you'll join us for that. In addition to that, there's a church conference that is scheduled for November 23rd. If you're able to join us for that, it'll be at Howell First United Methodist Church. Sometimes I just like to go to other churches just to see what's going on there and steal their really good ideas. Is anybody with me? Okay, that's me. There's a couple of us. Amen. So you can join us up there. Great opportunity to learn all about what's going on in our church. And there are about 7 or 8 other United Methodist churches that are going to be doing their church conference at the same time. If you'd like to join us for that, we invite you to do so. Finally, we are putting together college care packages. So if you have a student that's studying far away, we encourage you to just give us their name, their address. We would be so excited to send them candy. And I cannot tell you how much it meant to me when my mom's chocolate chip cookies would show up in a FedEx box right before final exams for the semester. I believe that I was able to ace a couple of classes just on that nourishment alone. So if you're able to join us, you can help us pack them, you can give us addresses, or you can bring the sweet treats so that we can send them along to our college students that we're so excited about their studies and their continued education. With that, I want to encourage you to stand as you're able and join us in our opening song. The words will be on the screen. It's number 2191, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. Let us stand and sing to the Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. We invite you to be seated. And as we gather here today and we celebrate on this Veterans Day, I want to take a moment to just express my heartfelt appreciation and thanks for all of those of you who are gathered here today who have spent time in the military. We just want to take a moment to ask you to stand so that we can honor you together on this Veterans Day. Would you please stand so that you can be recognized? Will you join me in thanking all of these folks for their service? Amen. We celebrate you this day, and we give thanks for the sacrifices that you made and the ways in which you put yourself in harm's way so that we can all experience the joys and blessings that we all have in our lives. So thank you so much for your service, for your leadership, and for the ways in which your lives have made a difference in all of ours. We celebrate you and remember you on this day and always. Amen.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord God, we are grateful that you watch over us each moment of our lives. You are with us in peaceful moments and in the suffering of war. We are grateful for those who have given part of their lives in service to others. Guide us to our purpose so that we may see how we can serve, and give us the tools we need to be your hands and feet. In your name we pray. Amen. Reading today is from the Old Testament, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. The New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, Do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers and sisters. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Itarian, for leading us in the scripture reading and in the prayers. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to be humble. Amen. So a couple of months ago, I was really struck by this word, tov. Now, you probably have heard this word before without really recognizing what it is. Maybe when gathering with friends or family, you lift a glass together and you say, mazel tov. Well, I'm here to tell you, you've probably been pronouncing it wrong like the whole time. The word is pronounced tov, and it actually appears nearly 700 times in the scriptures. And you may be wondering, what exactly is this word all about? What is this word centered on? And the word tov is all about good. The word tov appears in the book of Genesis. It's the word that's being used to describe what God said is good at the end of each day of creation. It's also used in this passage in Micah 6:8, where it essentially says, we have told you, O mortal, what is good. I've told you what is good. You don't have to ask. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to wrestle. I've told you what is good from the very beginning, to seek justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. This word tov is a challenge to me to think about what exactly it is that is good in God's eyes. If you're like me, you probably strive for this at least a little, or at least I hope you're striving to be good in God's eyes. I hope that you're attempting to sort of examine yourself, looking deep within yourself to determine if there are aspects of your life, if there are parts of your story, if there are habits that you engage in or things that you practice that you're not particularly proud of or excited about. The challenge for each and every one of us is to ask ourselves, what is tov? What is this thing that God is challenging us to become and to be, to live out in our day-to-day life? What is tov? Well, this morning, we're going to be focusing on the gift of humility. If you've ever run across somebody who is proud or demonstratively, you know, sort of self-confident and self-assured, if you've ever run into somebody like this, I don't know about you, but these are the kinds of folks that put me off probably more than anybody else in the world. They can't ever be wrong. They can never admit any kind of fault or mistake, and they sort of cruise through life above any sort of critique or criticism. And in Matthew's gospel, there's a story about these religious leaders. They were called scribes and Pharisees in the passage that came that was read this morning from Matthew 23. And if you read through the scriptures, you know that there are only a couple of moments in the entire gospel accounts where Jesus gets really upset. One of them is when he goes through flipping the tables at the temple. Does anybody remember that scene? It's sort of like, whoa, Jesus, holy smokes, man. Are you okay? And the other one that stands out to me is this. In Matthew 23, he goes essentially on this tirade. Jesus had had enough. He was frustrated because the religious leaders in Jesus' time had decided to forego the messages from the prophets, folks like Micah and Jeremiah and others throughout the ancient world who had cried out from the wilderness, who had cried out with their loudest voice, it's unacceptable to leave the widows and the orphans behind. It's unacceptable not to care for poor people. It's unacceptable not to live in a way that honors God. And the religious leaders of Jesus' day were cozying up to people in power. They were kowtowing to folks so that they could sit in the high banquet places, so that they could eat dinner with the powerful politicians of the day. They were sitting next to folks in power. They loved to show off. If you heard the word that only Dr. Atarian could probably pronounce in this entire scripture reading, the phylacteries, which, if you don't know what that is, the Jewish leaders at the time would carry around these boxes that were filled with scriptures, and they would sort of puff their shoulders out like, I know the scriptures better than everyone else. Look how big my box of scriptures is. And they were able to quote them from memory. And Jesus said, you can quote all the scriptures, but how is it impacting your life? Have you ever met somebody who quoted all the scriptures, who knew them from cover to cover, and yet when you examine their life, you're like, man, I don't understand this disconnect between your ability to cite every biblical passage and the fact that you're a jerk to people? I mean, I hate to say that those kinds of folks exist, because I want to believe, and this is why we believe in like discipleship and Bible studies and learning the scriptures, is we hope that by reading the scriptures, it has some transforming, like cosmic impact on your life, and that you're kind to people, that you love people. And in this passage of Matthew 23, Jesus says, like, you know all the scriptures, you walk around with your chest puffed out, you've gotten really excited about the fact that your salary has continued to rise and your position of prominence within our world has gotten bigger and bigger, but what I see is the fact that you're leaving folks behind. And it breaks my heart. I don't know about you, but humility is something that can be hard to find. It can be challenging to find folks who are willing to listen, who are willing to admit that they're wrong, who are willing to admit that they didn't have everything correct, that they're willing to humble themselves enough to come forward and say, I got this totally wrong, I blew it, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. In the modern world, I just am so tired of prepared statements. When you listen to them and they're reading them off a sheet of paper, and the worst offenders of this are some of my favorite people to watch every Sunday, it's the professional athletes who get caught doing something stupid and they're sitting in front of a microphone and they look down and they're like, I'm sorry, I won't ever do it again. My lawyers told me to say this. I'm really sorry. You know in a minute when somebody's really sorry. Humility is about the ability to listen. It's about the ability to apologize. It's about the ability to be modest with your own self-portrayal. Humility is also about an ability to focus on other people, to see the world as extending beyond the confines of your own body, the ability to see people, to hear people, to listen to their story, to acknowledge that their entire life experience might be just completely different than your own, and to validate them, their experiences is real. If you've ever been in an argument with somebody and they say, no, you're wrong, and you can't believe that, and how could anybody ever believe that to be true, you know how incredibly destructive that can be to your personhood. I think these days the world could use more folks who practice this gift of humility. I think self-reflection and engaging in the hard work of examining yourself is part of what God looks at in all of our character to determine whether or not we are good. The Pharisees in the ancient world who are walking around excited to have their name badge placed and right next to all of the powerful folks of their day, you know, they were puffing their chest out and they're like, look at my scripture box. It's as big as it could possibly be. I'm showing it off. I'm self-righteous. I'm godly. I'm faithful. And Jesus looks at them and you know what he says? Like, like 7 or 8 times he says, woe to you. And I don't know about you, but I sure would hate to have Jesus show up in church on a Sunday. Woe to you, Pastor John. Talk about an evisceration of your confidence, of the integrity of your faith, of the realness of your convictions. These religious leaders were criticized because they had left people who were marginalized behind. Jesus said, yes, you're observing the law. In fact, I'll even give you some credit. You are doing what you were commanded to do, but the problem is you were so self-righteous, you were so focused on your own holiness that you wouldn't allow yourself to be bothered as you were walking by somebody in peril by the side of the road. My brother went to Liberia a couple of years ago with some folks who were going there, and they were driving through Monrovia, and Monrovia is just filled with busy streets. And there are oftentimes people on motorbikes traveling all throughout the country, and the roads are dirt roads, and there aren't a lot of stoplights, and it can be chaotic. People are honking their horns constantly. And my brother and everybody else inside the vehicle observed a guy on a motorcycle getting hit by another car. And fortunately, he wasn't killed, but he was seriously injured. And the group was on their way to some mission site to roll up their sleeves and to do God's work. Now, I don't want to put anybody on Front Street, but my brother has a fairly critical eye against folks who are part of organized religion, including, frankly, myself. I think he keeps me honest sometimes. But later on that evening, when he said, like, in that moment, don't you think we ought to stop to help this guy? And the folks who were leading the mission trip, and I wasn't on this trip at the time, not saying I would have acted any different, quite frankly, said, oh no, we have to get to our work site. We've got important things to do. And they left this motorbike rider on the side of the road. And my brother, examining the scriptures, needless to say, I don't know that his phylactery would have been enormously large necessarily, but my brother took a moment that evening when the group was doing their devotions to say, isn't there a story about this in your scriptures? About leaving somebody in peril by the side of the road? I mean, I can't quote it verbatim, but I'm pretty sure there's something about this somewhere in the scriptures. The entire group had an uncomfortable night that evening, prophetically hearing the voice of an outsider challenging them to be the very best versions of themselves. When I think about this word tov, and I think about God creating the heavens and the earth and separating the land from the sea and creating all the animals and then creating humanity and God's own kind and saying all of that is good. And when God also says, I've told you exactly what's good, you know what's good, to seek justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with you, I think there's a profound challenge there for all of us to get in touch with our own humility. I love telling folks as they join our church, I'm gonna tell you right now in this membership class something that I say in a sermon or in a class or just walking past each other in the hallway is probably gonna make you upset. And I want you to know that it is 100% safe for you to come and tell me that I was wrong. In one of my very first sermons that I ever preached at this church, I told you all that somebody in Liberia was carrying 500 gallons of water on their head. And Vern Hoschel came up to me afterwards and he said, at about 2.5 pounds per gallon, that must have been a pretty strong neck of the person who was carrying that much water on their head. I want to land the plane here. For some of you, this has been an outstanding week. You've been excited about the results of the elections in the country. Some of you feel like the world's been saved, you know, and that's great. I'm grateful for, you know, the feeling of joy that you have. And for some of you, this last week, and for myself included, you know, being one of the ministers of this church, this has been one of the harder weeks that I've had in professional ministry, because folks have come in and expressed their great sadness and anxiety about the results of the election. And no matter who was elected, that was going to be the same. I had told Pastor Lynn to be prepared to be here on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to make pastoral appointments. And for the most part, all throughout this week, people had come in and expressed one feeling or another. You go from one meeting with somebody who is like, I can't wait to see what happens, to the next who is in tears, worried about somebody or somebody else. The Methodist Church has never been a dogmatic church. We have never told people that they have to be Republican or Democrat. In fact, to be quite honest, I try to be as unpartisan as I possibly can. But that doesn't mean that we're not political. We're political people, and our emotions are tied to what is going on in the world around us. I believe that part of humility is listening to folks, especially, and I want to put a big star and circle all the way around the word, especially when we're talking with somebody with whom we don't agree with. Sometimes those are my most favorite conversations. You've already heard me say that, you know, in my family alone, there are folks who don't see eye to eye about significant religious or ideological differences. And yet I'm here to tell you, I love talking with everyone in my family. It makes me better, I think, to listen. And it also makes me better every once in a while when I have to admit that there's no way that anybody on this planet that I'm aware of can carry 1,250 pounds of water on their head. Sometimes we're wrong. Sometimes somebody else carries the day. And I invite you to join me in an act of humility and listening to one another, hearing each other's stories, hearing our hurts, our pains, our joys, our excitements, our fears. I have always said that I believe that someday when we all get to heaven, we'll look across that space and we'll think to ourselves, like, how in the world did God let that person in? And I share the exact same conviction, and I can name a handful of people in my life that will look across that exact same table at me and think, how in the world did they let somebody like that guy in? And I've always held the conviction that God has standards. Of course God does. It's part of the reasons why Jesus was so upset, I think, in Matthew 23. I've told you what is good. I've told you. I don't know how to make it any more plain than this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. There is no law against that. Like, if you do that, you're checking all the boxes. And yet, even in Jesus' day, there were folks who struggled to do that. If you do those two things, Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, believed that your heart and his heart were on the same trajectory. All of the rest of the stuff we work through in community by listening humbly to each other. If you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, this is the central defining work of a United Methodist. And it's why I personally am a United Methodist pastor. So you love Trump, so you hate Trump, so you loved Kamala Harris, so you hated her. I'm here to tell you I have never believed that our salvation was going to come from any political party. Instead, our faith is rooted in the love of God and in the love of our neighbor and in our own love for ourselves. In humility, and in our strength of being humble before God. I invite you to join me. I'm going to offer a word of prayer for us. It's a prayer that actually one of our members, Suzanne Everett, found for me in the midst of a class that she's leading in this time. And so it's actually a prayer that was prayed by the Yuti people who live primarily in Utah and Colorado. They've experienced a tremendous amount of hardship in their lives, and in my mind, they're amongst the folks in our world that oftentimes get pushed to the side or sort of sold out. There are some of those folks who have been lost. Their lands were stolen, their waters were polluted, particularly with some uranium mines that were found on reservation lands. Some of them were in Indian boarding schools where nearly half of the students died. And reservation life expectancy is only 40 years, even in the modern era. However, the Ute people live in a robust culture and spirituality, and they traditionally believe that all things in the world are sacred and hold sacred power. During their annual Sundance ceremony, communities gather together to pray for healing, and their annual bear dance is a time for community building, dancing, and festivals, and at those community festivals, these words are spoken, and I believe they embody what it means to be humble. Earth, teach me to be quiet as the grasses are still with new light. Earth, teach me suffering as old stones suffer with memory. Earth, teach me humility as blossoms are humble with beginning. Earth, teach me caring as mothers nurture their young. Earth, teach me courage as the tree that stands alone. Earth, teach me limitation as the ant that crawls on the ground. Earth, teach me freedom as the eagle that soars in the sky. Earth, teach me acceptance as the leaves that die each fall. Earth, teach me renewal as the seed that rises in the spring. Earth, teach me to forget myself as melted snow forgets its life. Earth, teach me to remember kindness as dry fields weep with rain. Amen.
Wounded and forsaken, I was shattered by the fall. Broken and forgotten, feeling lost and all alone. Summoned by the King into the Master's courts. Lifted by the Savior and cradled in his arms.
I was carried to the table, seated where I don't belong. Carried to the table, swept away by his blood.
Fighting thoughts of fear, wondering why he called my name. Am I good enough to share this cup? This world has left me lame. Even in my weakness, the Savior called my name. In his holy presence, I'm healed and unashamed.
To the table.
carried me, my God. You carried me. You carried me, my God. You carried me. You carried me, my God. You carried me. You carried me, my God. You carried me.
I was always told to carry a clipboard. It makes it look like you know more than you really do and that you're doing more than you really are. So I'm about as challenged. Thank you so much for your message. I'm about as challenged as anyone here trying to do good day to day, but I know where to go, go to God for forgiveness. And the only John, I momentarily thought when you said about a prepared speech, I thought, oh my goodness, here I am with a prepared prayer. And I thought, holy cow, what am I going to do now? What I'm going to do now is tell you about these prayer quotes right here. Please take time after the service and tie a knot and say a prayer for Darlene DeYonk, Troyce Mall, and Ron Vickers. Please make sure you tie a knot, sign the card, and say a prayer for each of them. And being one that is challenged, I've been reading the Old Testament and reading about Solomon here of late. And Solomon took 7 years to build God's temple, 13 years to build his own palace. I don't know, maybe a lesson in humility there. And so the prayer today is taken from 1 Kings 8:22 through 53, and it's the prayer of dedication that Solomon gave, and it's also paralleled in Chronicles. It's when he dedicated the temple of the Lord, and the only thing that caught me in there, we're talking about humility, a couple of times in there, Solomon goes, "I built this temple for you," and it's just so. Please, won't you join me in an attitude of prayer and recalling that it comes from Kings and the dedication of the Lord's temple. Lord our God, there is no God like you in the heavens above or on the earth below. You keep your covenant of love with those who are called according to your purpose. Are you in this place of worship when even the highest heavens cannot contain you? Hear the prayers of your servants and consider our pleas for mercy, Lord our God. Listen to our cry for you and the prayer that your children are praying in your presence. We have sinned against you in ways that we know and others that we don't know. Let us turn back to you with praise in our hearts that you hear us from heaven. Forgive the sins of your servants as stewards of these United States of America. Teach us how to live together through your word and bless the land you gave us. When disease or disasters strike, hear our pleas for strength and healing. Deal with us according to your will, as you alone know every human heart. Let everyone hear of your great name and your mighty hand as we share the gospel. Lord, we lift up the military service veterans who stood ready against our enemies. Hear our prayers and pleas for our active military personnel and uphold their cause. Heavenly Father, search our hearts as we silently offer our cares, concerns, and petitions. Forgive us when we sin against you, and hear our pleas when we cry out to you. Sovereign Lord, may we trust in you completely, live by your rules, and obey your commands. We give thanks for Jesus. Listen as we say together the prayer that he taught the disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As we seek to love God and neighbor, as we seek to walk humbly with God with humble hearts, it is our call as disciples to serve God and neighbor. One way we can serve is through our time and our talents, and also through the sharing of our treasure. So God invites us to share of our gifts and our offerings this morning. And I would invite our ushers to come forward to wait upon us. And then I would, as the offering plate is being passed, I would invite you to turn your attention to the screen as we celebrate and honor our veterans. We thank and praise you with the offerings we bring today. We thank you for giving our lives meaning and purpose. We thank you for a community that supports us in the work of the Spirit. Bless these offerings towards the growth and sustenance of discipleship in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
to invite up our brother, Bob Hempo, who's going to be giving an announcement. He's got a bell, which sounds really good right now.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Just a couple quick things here. You can see Salvation Army, bell rings. We'll talk about that in a moment. I want to say, did you know that Agnes Horschel has signed us up with the Salvation Army to bell ring for 25 years? What an incredible effort. So I'm under a one-year contract. The terms, we're going to negotiate and see if we go forward from here. I wanted to share a couple quick things about Salvation Army here in the Howell area, Brighton area, 125 years. And the basic mission is care for the lost, feed the hungry, and comfort the hurting, which is just an incredible mission. Two-thirds of the funds come in the last 3 months of the calendar year, and the bulk of that from this bell ringing campaign. So I'm hoping you can help me. Oops, sorry. We have two dates, Saturday, 11:30, and we are going to be there from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., and then Saturday, December 7th, so 12-7. So 11:30 was November 30th, and 12-7 is November 7th. Same hours, 10 a.m., 8 p.m., and that'll be in front of Kroger. And we'd love to have you. I've got a nice, fancy looking sign-up sheet here. I will be out there today. Depending upon your performance and participation, I may be out there some other days, but I'm counting on you, okay? Last thing, quick tips. Check the weather if you participate. Dress appropriately, okay? Smile and have fun, okay? So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Bob. As you go out into the world, may these words from the Gospel of Matthew 23 be ringing in your hearts. You are not to be called the rabbis, for you have one teacher. You are all siblings in Christ, called brothers and sisters, and call no one your father on earth, because you have one Father in heaven. Nor are all those who exalt themselves to be anything but humbled, and all who are humble who humble themselves are to be exalted. As you go out into the world, may you be torchbearers of the light. May you hold space for those who are marginalized and on the fringes. May you create space in your heart for those who are hurting. This is the work of Christ. Go out with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.